Ladies and gentlemen, we're gathered here today to pay our final respects to Best Death Scenes. Best Death Scenes was the next episode in our planned schedule, and unfortunately, that is no longer the case. Because we had a guest on that episode, and the guest's audio was fucked. Therefore, the three-way conversation was fucked, which meant the episode was fucked, which meant my head was fucked. I've cobbled together what's left of the recording, which is myself and Will's audio track. It's an unedited smorgasbord of what we talked about. I've chopped up the recording into segments where myself and Will are talking mostly, and I've left out where we've talked about our final scene picks, because death scenes is such a great topic. I hope that we get a chance to do it again. It's one of the top five great scene suggestions, so it was a shame for this to happen. But we have a really good alternate episode planned, which is Best Guilty Pleasures. That was suggested by Lara, one of our fantastic patrons and one of the brilliant people of our Discord community. That should be a fun one to do, and it should hopefully get us talking about films that we haven't spoken about before. So yeah, this is just pouring one out for death scenes. We'll try and do it again in the future. For now, what you're about to hear is just a chopped up version of the episode. It's unedited, so if you ever wanted to know what an episode sounds like without all the bells and whistles, it's going to sound a little bit like this. I've used some underscore underneath it to make it sound like a funeral. Anyway, here's what's left of Best Death Scenes. Love ye. Will.
Yes?
Have you ever thought about your own death?
You mean in the last 5 minutes?
Yes. Because I have.
Okay, tell me about yours. So this is a rhetorical question. Go on.
No, I thought about your death.
Oh, right. Was it a peaceful one?
I can't tell you that because, you know, then you'd be prepared for it. It'll be quick. That's all I'll say.
That's all I can ask for.
It's actually going to happen over the course of this episode, you know, where we're dying on mic.
Oh, you got there ahead of me.
The best bit. I'll use small words.
Get a little choked up.
I can tell you one that might not be on many people's radar. It's a film that came out in 1993. And it stars Michael Keaton and Nicole Kidman, and it's called My Life.
I don't know it.
Yeah, it's a deep cut. It's a very, very specific deep cut for me, because I watched it when it came out on video, right? When I was a young teenager, you know, I was a tough teenager, hadn't shed a tear since I stubbed my toe, you know, getting out of my crib sort of stuff. And I remember just threw this film on. At the end of it, I remember just being a mess. Like cathartic crying, just floods of tears. And it was like, oh my God.
Makeup streaming down your mascara running.
Yeah, it was full mascara. But it's a film which I think probably on, you know, if you were to watch it now, it might come across as a bit mawkish. But it is a film in which Michael Keaton is a successful, you know, guy. He's got a beautiful wife who's pregnant. She has got a great career. Life is wonderful. But it turns out he has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. So he's given 4 months to live. And so the whole film is about him preparing for his death. And he starts to make video diaries for his child, his unborn child, about, like, you know, how to fucking live his life and all this sort of stuff. And oh my God, when we eventually, and it's a whole process of him fucking coming to terms with the fact that he's going to die and basically having issues that he hasn't dealt with around his own family and his own dad and all that sort of stuff. And my God, when we get to the final scenes, I remember being in floods. It affected me so much that I only watched the film once. And then about 15 years later, it popped up somewhere. I found a DVD of it. I said to Karen, my wife, says, oh my God, this bloody film. Haven't heard of it or seen it since I saw it years ago. I put it on and the opening credits are just like white text over a black background, but the score played. And by the end of the opening credits, I was in floods of tears. Something, it triggered something in me again, and I just was just destroyed by it. So that would be my one that kind of slots into that kind of almost mawkish
tearjerker death scenes.
Total tearjerker. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've never seen The Land Before Time.
Oh,
so
wow.
It didn't affect me. I was just sitting there watching it going like, oh God, it's 2D animation. I can't be asked for this.
Trivia questions, but right? Yeah. Trivia questions. How many sequels, spin-offs has The Land Before Time spawned?
Is this part of like Dying on Mike type?
Yeah, it kind trivia? Of is. Yeah. Kevin, what's your guess?
80.
You know, it's somewhere in the middle. It's 13. 13 sequels, spin-offs. That's a franchise.
Brilliant. And I've not seen any of them. The horse's death in Neverending Story.
That's on my list. Oh, is it? Artax. Fuck yeah. It's on all our lists. Oh my God.
But where is it on your list? Is it like way up there?
It's at the moment, it's, well, you see, I'm kind of like, my list is all over the shop. I just kind of know what's at the top. So it's in the top five, I would put it that way.
Because he's dying of depression. The horse has just given up the will to live.
And
he's pleading with him.
The way the horse has just been lured. And I love the kind of the phases that Atreo goes through of like, oh, come on. To, no, don't give up. To, come on, you stupid fucking. And I always hate it. And I hate it, but it hurt me so much when he started swearing at the horse. Like, he gets angry at the horse. And that was the moment where I think I got most upset, you know, because it got really fucking real. So disturbing. And I rewatched it today and I still got chills.
It used to be my banner on Twitter for the longest time, and people would see it and be like, oh my God, your banner's horrible, because it'd be the horse droning in the bog of despair.
Why, can I ask you, why was it your banner?
Because I was so frustrated about what was going on with my career. And I put it on there as sort of something ironic. And then I can't remember what happened. I think I got some job and I changed it to what was the kid's name? He's riding Falco at the end and he's like got his hand.
Oh, right.
Sebastian.
Right.
This is not going in the episode either. Fuck it. See, I think this is an important thing that's part of death scenes, is that you need to either relate to or like the characters. Mm-hmm. It can't just be a throwaway death. Even in something inconsequential like Marge getting swallowed in Jaws 2, it was that she died heroically. That's probably why I remember it. Not so much that it was like a spectacular scene of an animatronic shark swallowing her, but it was that she died trying to save a kid. He's done some great death scenes, Spielberg.
I watched one recently, actually, last weekend, which kind of caught me off guard. It was in the middle of the day, and it was Empire of the Sun.
Mm.
And it was the death scene where basically, you know, the kid has been in this concentration camp for quite a while and the war is over, the bomb drops, but he's basically his surrogate mother in the camp. You know, everyone's been carted out of the tents and stuff like that. And they've been released from the wire enclosures of the concentration camp. And she's just lying there on the ground, dead, just with her eyes open. And it's completely unceremonious. And it's incredibly, as you say, it's incredibly raw. And it's not underscored, it's not sentimentalized in any way, shape or form. It's just fucking brutal. And I remember being really struck by that. Just this beautiful woman just lying there dead, and after the bomb drops. And it's just, it was really great.
Reminds me of Kerry Russell's death in Mission Impossible, when the brain bomb goes off and her eyes are like,
oh,
in two
God.
Different directions.
Shocking. Yeah, I completely forgot about that until you just said it right there. And I went, oh, I know what you mean. Oh my God.
The code in Schindler's List, you don't even see that depth, but you just feel it intensely. Just seeing that little red coat just piled in there with all the others. Can I mention one other great Vin Diesel death, though? Just to say it.
Oh, so I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going, and I'm not going to interrupt. I just know it. I feel glad. I'm not going, I know it. Go on.
You know, I don't really like 2D animation. I don't consider it a real art form.
Yeah.
But the Iron Giant's death, Vin Diesel going,
it's
Superman.
Brilliant.
And he sacrifices himself. It always elicits a tear.
You mentioned earlier on about the one where we don't actually witness the death, you know, in the film. And we're wondering if we're going to say the same thing. The one I was thinking of, which really fucking got to me, was Jim Sheridan's film, In the Name of the Father. And it's Jerry Conlon's dad's death in that, Giuseppe Conlon, where poor old Jerry and Giuseppe and the rest had been wrongly imprisoned. Jerry has gone down a bad path of drug taking and solipsistic behavior, and Giuseppe is staying on the righteous path. And they are stuck in the same cell, but they've fallen out with each other. And then one night below him, Giuseppe begins to struggle to breathe, and panic fills poor old Jerry, and he's screaming out the doors, like looking for help. And we see Giuseppe being unceremoniously carted down the steps in the prison cell, and there's great agony of, please help him, the man is suffocating. He is suffocating, he is dying. And the inhumanity of Jerry not being able to be beside his father, and the scene, which is, like, I think is so fucking powerful, as we got Jerry just sitting in his cell alone, his face stoic, and a priest comes in to tell him, like, your poor Giuseppe passed away, and he stays completely stoic, and the word spreads around the prison, and one of his buddies lights a piece of paper, and he drops the burning piece of paper out the cell window, and we have that amazing shot of all the burning pieces of paper, newspaper, like falling, descending, cascading down the side of the cell. And we have Sinead O'Connor's haunting score in the background as well, or her haunting voice in the background as well. It's incredibly powerful. It's incredibly moving. I shed a tear every time I see it. I shed a tear, and I'm glad he gets out in the end.
So he's been around some good ones.
I've got a shocking one for you. But it's also shocking, but it's also kind of funny. Because I remember at the cinema going, oh, and everyone kind of tittering at the same time. Out of Sight. It's the moment where
Out of Sight,
white boy Bob shoots himself in the head while he's running up the stairs.
Oh, he's going up the stairs. He slips and he blows his head off.
He's got George Clooney at gunpoint. And he's shouting to his cohorts, you know, who are rummaging through the house. And he's got his gun trained at Clooney's head, and he's jogs up the stairs. He slips and falls. The gun hits him right underneath the chin, and he pulls the trigger, and that's it. And I remember everyone getting, it's an equal shock, funny death. I think it's brilliant.
It has a bang of bang, boom, boom. It has a bang of Pulp Fiction when he blows a man's head off in the back seat.
Kind of, yeah.
When he's like lecturing him and bang. Yeah, I like those ones. I've got another one for you that's really shocking. Mm-hmm. And this is a Zapruder film.
Oh, you fucking JFK. You sick bastard. You don't see it coming, to be fair. One of the funniest death scenes that I've seen is from Zoolander. And it's the petrol fight, or the gas station fight, where we have the supermodels, you know, the male models, just throwing gasoline. They're filling up their Jeep, and they start doing a gasoline fight. And this goes,
I've never actually seen Zoolander.
Oh shit, it is so fucking funny. You have these dumb male models who are filling up, who pull into a petrol station, and are filling up their Jeep. They're all beautiful, and one of them just accidentally sprays some gas on one of the other guys, and they all go, oh, isn't this so much fun? And they start throwing gas, and they do a gasoline fight, and the whole thing goes up, kaboom. It's fucking genius. It's brilliant.
That makes me want to see that. That makes me want to see it more than any of the trailers or any of the clips that I've seen.
It's great. It is very good.
Yeah, it's just one of those ones where I don't know, I kind of got the joke with the blue steel thing, and I was like, okay. You know, himbo models.
Judging a book by its cover. That's all I'm saying. I'm just throwing it out there. Give it a go.
But how else do you judge?
Actually, by consuming the entire thing and reserving your judgment until you have seen it in completion.
So you watch absolutely everything. You don't discern at all.
The trailer, the people involved,
the poster, none of it. You just go like, I don't care what it is.
But on the, but I'm sure plenty of people have said it's actually quite good over the years. It's been up 20 years.
Not really.
Not many people have said Zoolander's good.
Not to me specifically, where it said, like, you've got to watch Zoolander.
Well, now it's done. You've got to watch Zoolander, Kevin.
Okay, I'll give it a go. I've got a funny one for you.
Okay.
The debts in The Other Guys with The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson, where they jump off the roof. There goes my hero. That made me laugh.
That is quite good. I like
Thank
it.
You.
I like that one. That's very good.
Rest in peace, Death Scenes, 2023 to 2023. We hardly knew ye.
And here is a clip from the lad's latest Mini Bits bonus show. The full episode, plus 100 more, are available on their Patreon.
Mini Bits. What up, Margie? Best Bits Show, here to play for three in a row. Two writers, speak their prose. Winning battles, Razzies, fuck no. Films are fun, that's their motto. Hit subscribe, you've won the lotto. Silly skits, laughs on cue. Sound effects, yeah, they got them too. They're food gifts, they don't give a damn. Too hot to handle, ask your man. Movie series, whatever you like. Two fun guys on the mic, that's Will and Kev. Back on their bullshit, more mini bits and magic moments. So get it right, Best Bits bonus show is dynamite. Let's go.
What the hell was even that?
You fucking idiot.
Who are you, man?
It's
our lad.
Tis.
We'll do that again.
Many bits. Raw.
How are you, Will?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm grand. It's our last mini bits.
Aww.
I know.
It doesn't feel like it is our last one, though. You know, it's that feeling of like, no, it's not our last mini bits.
Why? What have you heard?
I haven't heard anything. It just doesn't feel like it. It just doesn't feel like it's our last one.
Has the boss said anything? I've been looking out to see what he says. And no, it's our last podcast on the bonus feed that'll be called Mini Bits.
Mm.
How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's under this label, we're going to be putting the title Mini Bits to bed, which I know you don't feel the same way, but I feel a little bit sad about that. I always liked the title Mini Bits. And
do you want to know what the new title is?
Not really, no.
Okay.
What is it?
No, I'm not telling you now. Mm. So all the people that are listening that want to know what the new title is, they're not going to hear it now because you said no. Blame Will.
Are you talking about the new title of the Mini Bits? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Ah, right, okay. It's not as good as Mini Bits.
It's not. I've never liked that title. I thought Mini Bits was it didn't make any sense to me. It was like Mini Bits. But Mini and Bits are the same thing. It's like saying I'm going to watch a movie film.
Films are shit.
We were supposed to do it in like 20 minutes, like hot shots, 20 minute like blast out episodes, and
that's what happens. You see,
yeah.
It's like we start off going like, we'll make them so small we won't have to worry about them, and
yeah,
then we end up doing like hour and a half long mini bits.
Yeah,
that are longer than the main show. I was going to. Oh God, I've got to find it now. Vamp, there. You remember what vamp means?
It means hunting down a virgin, arching their head to the side, sticking your fangs into their arteries.
Yes, exactly. You're fecking. I'm not going to do it. I'll save it for the last show because we haven't recorded that yet because I was like, well, can we flip around our schedule and give me an extra couple of days to sort of shake off this cold because I've been sick. I finished the script.
Yeah.
Which
is very good.
Which I sent to you. You read the sloppiest version of it as well. So I'm sorry about that, but, you know, that's what happens when you're on the front line. You take all the bullets.
I'll get over it eventually.
You take all the bullets, all the typos. But, you know, when I asked you, were there any typos? You goes, yeah, a couple. And then there was one where you called the same character twice and I was like, oh, okay, I'll change that. Then I read through it and there was probably about 40 typos that I could have like cleaned up if you'd mentioned.
Well, hold on, the problem was, right? This is
there's
the problem.
There's too many to point out.
No. The problem was you sent me about 3 or 4 versions of the script in rapid succession of like, sorry, this is an updated version. Sorry, this is the updated version. The version...
No, that was over the course of like a few days.
Oh, I don't know if it was over a few days. No. I don't know if it was over a few days. Problem was...
Well, you took several days to read it.
The problem was that I had put it up onto my Kindle and the version that was on my Kindle was the version that was on my Kindle.
Oh, so you definitely read the sloppiest version then.
So I don't know.
Are we on a fucking delay again?
No, we're just talking over each other. Let's end the podcast.
That's always my excuse. So you read the version that's got Helen Lee Han on the front cover. That was a typo.
She's my favorite screenwriter right now. She's so hot. She's so. She you should go as Helen. You should just go. You should just.
No, DEI is gone. It's, I'm not going to go as Mr. Kevin Lee Han.
Mr. Kevin Lee. Mr. Kevin Lee Han, Caucasian.
White Irish Catholic. oh, God.
Bitcoin entrepreneur.
I know, yeah.
We've actually watched loads. Both of us have watched loads of shit. We really have.
I've watched a lot of good stuff as well, though.
Oh, oh, you know what I meant. A lot of content. We both watched a lot of content between film and television.
Get it out of your system. You're watching Traitors Season 2, Episode 10. Is that the final episode?
No, it's 12 episodes in Season 2 in the US one. It's 12 episodes.
You can skip the 12th episode, I think.
Don't
because that's
stop,
probably a reunion.
Don't.
I'm not giving you spoilers. Episode 12 is a reunion.
Okay. All right. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, apologize.
Sometimes you cannot help yourself but just give very, very loose spoilers. You do it. You do it. And it's just like, I'm not telling you, but don't bother watching the last episode because it's really disappointing because the traitors win.
I never said that. If you go back and listen to the one about New Zealand, I said, enjoy the final episode. It's very disappointing. And I don't care if the traitors win, if it's satisfying.
Yeah. I actually liked the end of the New Zealand traitors. I actually did.
Was it the Maori woman that won?
No.
So that was probably the season one New Zealand one. You probably watched season two.
Okay. Yeah, no, the end of season two, because I was expecting it to go one way.
Hang on. That's the one where there was a guy who was cut completely out of it. It was like Keith or something.
No, that's,
remember I was telling you.
That's the Australian one.
Oh, fuck it. It's all the same.
Yeah.
I can't tell Canadians, Americans apart.
But I'm just to close off Traitors New Zealand, whatever season it was, it must be season two. I enjoyed it. It was definitely on a lower budget, particularly when you then go straight into US Traitors season two and they're in the same castle as they do the BBC show. They're on a bigger budget than the BBC show has because the contestants are staying in the actual castle and not in the Holiday Inn a couple of miles down the road where they have to get a bus down to status, but they're staying in the castle. There's fireworks, there's like, you know, marching bands and stuff like that. It's like, oh my God, it's such a contrast to see.
Are you thinking about the American one then? Have you settled in? Have you gotten used to the sort of the drama of it all?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's such a totally, it's so interesting to see.
You may be a bachelor. This, you may be whatever, but this ain't The Bachelor and I don't have to kiss your ass for a rose.
Yeah. You can see
she was brilliant. Phaedra.
She was fantastic. Well, she's still in it for me and
she hasn't died yet.
She hasn't shed her mortal coil. I'm enjoying, we're all gripped by it. The drama is at maximum. Just the backstabbing and the thing that frustrates me is the fact that they all know each other from the universe of reality shows. It's like, well, we were together on Bravo. We're all Bravo ladies. And I'm like going, who the fuck?
Yeah,
they're coming in as a clan already, like, you know. But they're some very big characters.
You know, in the States, those personality types are like A-list celebrities within that genre. There's one of them, Parvati.
Oh yeah.
She's like been on a dozen reality shows. And now, having watched The Traitors, I see her constantly on the telly. She's like doing red carpets, interviewing people on the red carpet. And
wow.
And it's odd. It's a whole ecosystem. The thing that stuck out to me watching the American version is there's nothing about them as people. It's just gamesmanship, gamesmanship, mm-hmm. gamesmanship all the time.
Yeah.
They're fully players. They're not really people. And also, I look at it and think they must spend ages getting ready before they go down to film, because they walk into the breakfast table and they're like done up as if they're going to walk a red carpet. Ah, well, my fucking hell. They've got like full slap makeup on, hair done, they're wearing bejeweled gowns and stuff.
This is done on a budget. So the whole, you know, squad of makeup and wardrobe and all that has to be there. So they're not going in doing their own makeup. They have people, a team doing their makeup.
No, exactly.
For them, you know?
But it kind of adds to the artifice. I'll say this though. If you have managed to get on board with season two, season three is amazing. You're going to love season three.
Brilliant. We're just having a great time. It's a great family shared experience. Do you want to know with season two, what's been a bit of a delight in my house personally for me is one of the surprise contestants is the only, maybe he's the only English contestant in it, is your man John, who was the former Speaker of the House. In the Commons.
John Burko. Yeah.
John Burko.
Right. Long-winded.
But he is the
silent assassin.
He's great. And in my house, you know what's been delightful is how my Ellie has taken him under her wing, as in she's like, he's Florence Nightingale. Well done, John. She's like positively encouraging him. John, you did so well today. Don't worry if you fell down. It's okay. Oh no, John, are you okay? Like, he falls over and he gets his tummy all covered in muck, and she's like, "Oh, I'm so worried about John. I hope he's okay." Like, she's
wasn't there a big drama about whether John actually had asthma or not?
There was.
I can remember this one a bit better because I only watched it in January. It was as soon as the UK one ended, I watched the American one because I couldn't bear the first season of the American one.
Yeah.
It was just too much of a culture shock for me, and I think they settled down a bit. But season two, I really enjoyed, and season three so far, I'm on episode 9.
Okay.
Is fantastic. It's so vicious. But you're going to enjoy that as well.
Oh, we're lovely.
Anyway, that's our traitors talk. We got it out of the way.
Yeah, it's great. It's all great. I love it all. It's great. Give me more traitors. What have...
Go
we,
on.
Let's
You've
go
seen
and talk
probably
about
the most recent...
What's the most recent one? What's the one you're going to bring up?
I was going to say before you rudely interrupted me, the most recent thing you've seen is Captain America: Brave New World. So take it away. What did you think of it?
Many bits.